Okay, good morning. As she said, I'm Greta Kilmer. I'm an epidemiologist with RTI International in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm going to present information to you on how effective screening for diabetes among U.S. adults is hindered by the healthcare system. I have no disclosures. So diabetes burn-in, and here's where I'm going to explain some of those acronyms that she brought up. There are many surveillance systems in the United States that look at diabetes. The first one, and the one that I'm going to focus on in my methods, is BRFSS, or Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System. And in 2010, they found that 8.7% had diagnosed diabetes prevalence, and that's among U.S. adults 18 and over. The next one is NHANES. That's where they actually take physical measurements. And so they found through blood tests that 35% of those age 20 or over have prediabetes, and I'll go into prediabetes a little bit more later on. And a third one is the National Health Interview Survey, NHIS, and they show that the prevalence of diabetes is continuing to increase regardless of age. So the age of the population is getting older, but regardless of that, we're still seeing an increase in diabetes prevalence. Okay. And you probably all know the complications of diabetes: hypertension, heart disease, stroke and kidney disease, retinopathy and dental disease, nerve damage and amputations, and pregnancy complications. And so the reason I bring up the complications is because we can screen for diabetes and we can prevent it from progressing that far. And a recently published article proved that screening is cost-effective, meaning that the cost of screening more than makes up for the cost of taking care of people that have progressed so far into their diabetes, that they have complications. So I'm taking a quote directly from that. In the U.S. population, screening for type 2 diabetes is cost-effective when started between the ages of 30 years and 45 years, with screening repeated every 3 to 5 years. Okay? And the risk factors that we know for diabetes, this is from the American Diabetes Association, and it's back from 2003. So these are very well-known risk factors, and you'll notice that prediabetes is not in this list. I'll talk more about that later. That's a more recent risk factor that we've found in the last few years. But those that are well-established are increasing age, obesity, lack of physical activity, racial and ethnic minorities, prior gestational diabetes or polycystic ovarian syndrome, and hypertension, dyslipidemia, and coronary heart disease. Okay. I'm going to go into the methods for the BRFSS, or the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, a little bit more. That's the data set that I used for my study. It's a telephone survey conducted by the CDC. It's weighted to represent the civilian, non-institutionalized U.S. adult population. And there are core questions that are administered in all states. Self-reported diagnosed diabetes. That's the one I'll be concentrating on. There are other health conditions that I won't go into that they ask about. Also, self-reported BMI. More specifically, they ask about height and weight and then calculate BMI from that. And health behaviors such as physical activity, demographics. And then there's a question about health insurance. The question is, do you currently have any kind of health care coverage, including health insurance, prepaid plans such as HMOs, or government plans such as Medicare? Okay, and then there's optional modules that are selected by states, and that's what I was interested in for my study because they added a module in 2010, and 43 states chose to implement this module. There are two questions in the module. Have you had a test for high blood sugar or diabetes within the past 3 years? And have you ever been told by a doctor or other health professional that you have prediabetes or borderline diabetes? Okay, and I restricted my analyses here to adults aged 18 to 64. So 65 and over adults are included in BRFSS, but I did not include them in my models. Okay, and I'm going to show you some models in my methods later on. And so the variables I'm including in all these models are age as a continuous variable, obesity as a yes-no variable, leisure time physical activity is also just yes or no. Education, I divided into those who have attended some college or those who have attended no college. Race ethnicity is also just a bivariate, either those who fell into the non-Hispanic white category or all others. So they're either Hispanic or they fell into a non-white race category. And health insurance is yes, no. Okay, so the first model, and this is sort of the premise for the rest of what I did, I put everything into a model that I thought in my research, and current research shows that are risk factors for diabetes. And so I put all these into a pooled model. These are not separate models. This is just one pooled model. So the top risk factor for diagnosed diabetes is 3.68 odds ratio, and it's significant. The second would be not white, or here I mean the non-white race or Hispanic. Third is inactivity, and fourth is no college. And all of those odds ratios that I'm showing there are statistically significant. And since I'm interested in screening, I also put in whether someone's insured or not. And that came out to be non-significant in the model for diagnosed diabetes. So my logistic regression model is showing that these risk factors among age 18 to 64 in the 43 states. Okay, so for the rest of the analyses, I'm just concentrating on adults that are not diagnosed with diabetes, because those are the people we're interested in screening. So among non-diabetic adults aged 18 to 64 in those 43 states, 18% were not insured, 26.4% were obese, 32.2% were not white, either in a racial or ethnic minority group, 21.6% were inactive, and 35.5% did not attend college. Now I want to show the percentage that are not insured, and I'm going to show that adults at risk for diabetes are more likely to not be insured. The first one I'm showing is obesity. The difference there isn't great, but it is statistically significant. So among those who are obese, 19.8% are not insured, compared to those who are not obese, only 17.2% are not insured. Those that are not white or are Hispanic, 28.7% are not insured. And 13.4% of non-Hispanic whites are not insured. And same shows for inactivity, 25.6% are not insured, compared to active adults, 16.3% are not insured. And the biggest difference you can see are those that have not attended college, 30.7% of them are not insured. Okay. So this shows screening rates. I'm going to compare those who are insured, those who are not insured. The overall population, 57.9% of those who are insured reported that they were screened for diabetes within the past 3 years. Compared to those who are not insured is only 40%, and the difference there is statistically significant. In the 18 to 29 age group, 39.3%. It's a bit lower. You'd expect that because of the young age group. 39.3% of those that are insured were screened, compared to 31.2% not insured. And then you can see the other age groups there also. Specifically looking at the 45 to 64 age group, two-thirds of them were screened in the past 3 years if they were insured, but then less than half were screened if they did not have insurance. And then just looking at those who are obese, about two-thirds again, for that one, is this about the same. Were screened if they were insured, but less than half were not screened if they were not insured. And so you can see that those differences carry out with the other risk factors, those who are not white, those who are inactive, and those who did not attend college. Okay. So I'm pulling up this same model that I showed you before for diagnosed diabetes, and that's the first model that I'm showing there. But then I'm also showing in another column a model that I ran for screening among non-diabetics. And I'm using the same variables, and I'm just going to show them to you individually so that you can see the numbers that come out. So obesity actually came out to be the second ranking risk factor or predictor. I'm using those interchangeably because it doesn't really make sense to talk about a risk factor for screening. But the odds ratio there was 1.64 and is statistically significant. And the next one came out to be the not white race or Hispanic ethnicity is odds ratio of 1.43. And then inactivity and no college, they were about the same. But you see here that the odds ratio is actually flipped. It's below one. So that means that those who are inactive are actually less likely to be screened for diabetes. And those who have not attended college are less likely to be screened for diabetes. And the big thing I want to show you today is insurance is the biggest predictor for someone getting screened for diabetes. Okay, this is a lot of numbers for those of you who like to look at at models. The betas here are showing the magnitude here. And you can also see that the confidence intervals do not overlap for, when I say insured is the biggest predictor, it doesn't overlap with the confidence interval for obesity. So it's even a greater determining factor for getting screening than if someone is obese. Okay. Then I'm going to look at pre-diabetics a little bit more because that's a more recent thing, and it was measured in this study. Of course, it's a little bit restricted because this is just a cross-sectional survey. We don't really know what sort of factors come into play when someone is diagnosed with pre-diabetes and then progresses into the diabetic range. That hasn't been studied as much. So among adults age 18 to 64, 7.8% have been diagnosed with pre-diabetes, or they have a history of diabetes or pre-diabetes during pregnancy. As I said before, that's another risk factor that the American Diabetes Association has recognized. Screening should be high among those with pre-diabetes or a history of gestational diabetes or pre-diabetes. And I'm showing here the sample size. It's quite high, so that's why I went ahead and ran some models. But first, let me show you just some basic statistics. Adults with pre-diabetes or that history of gestational diabetes are just as likely to not be insured as adults without the risk factors, 17.1% and 18.1%. So it's the same kind of scenario that we had with diagnosed diabetes. You know, insurance didn't really come into play there. But then when you look at those who are screened, 78.2% were screened among those who are insured, only 63.8% among those not insured. And I ran some more models. Again, like I said, it's a little bit restricted because we're not following people over time to see if they're progressing into the diabetic range. But risk factors for a history of prediabetes or gestational diabetes, top risk factor here is obesity, 2.31 odds ratio. And non-white race or Hispanic ethnicity is also significant, as is inactivity. But then college attendance and those of insurance, you'll see, are non-significant in the models. But then I also ran a model, and this is just looking at those with pre-diabetes or a history of gestational diabetes, and I wanted to see if they're getting screened. But it came out that insurance is also the biggest predictor there, and so the odds ratio is 1.79, and followed closely by obesity, and I'll show you in the next screen that they're the confidence intervals overlap, so I wouldn't go so far as to say that insurance is the biggest predictor here, but it is one of the top predictors. Okay, and then no college actually becomes significant, but it's flipped again. It's below one, so that means that those who have not attended college are actually less likely to be screened, even though it shows in the model for the history is that it's not significant. This I'm just showing again the numbers for the betas and the confidence intervals, but I already explained that the confidence intervals for insurance and obesity are overlapping, so I wouldn't necessarily say that insurance is the biggest predictor. Okay, so I'm going to try to wrap everything up here for you. I know it's a lot of numbers. Among adults aged 18 to 64 in my multivariate model, obesity is the largest risk factor for diagnosed diabetes. Other risk factors include racial or ethnic minority, inactivity, and no college attendance. Healthcare coverage was lower among those at risk for diabetes. Screening rates were significantly lower for at-risk individuals without health insurance. And the leading predictor for diabetes screening is health insurance coverage. So even among those who are very high-risk adults, they have previous pre-diabetes or gestational diabetes, health insurance coverage is a leading predictor of whether they get screened or not. Okay, there's obviously some limitations here. I'll go through a few. Factors other than health insurance coverage prevent adults from seeking primary care, whether it's unavailable or they just don't get around to seeing the doctor. It's not nationally representative. As I said, only 43 states implemented the module. And undiagnosed diabetes is unknown. Because we're just asking people over the phone, have you ever been diagnosed with diabetes? We can't follow up with them and do physical measurements to see if their glucose levels fall into the diabetic range. And screening might be underreported. You know, we all need to be proactive about our own health, but the fact is sometimes they take our blood and we don't really know what they do with it. So some people may have been tested for diabetes and they just didn't know it. The healthcare system to just sort of wrap up conclusions of my talk, the healthcare system in the U.S. doesn't allow for high-risk individuals to be targeted for diabetes screening, and effectively screening the population for diabetes may require improvements in access to primary health care. Hopefully we'll see that in the future. I know that we're making steps towards that. And inactive adults in my analyses and those who did not attend college are actually especially disadvantaged for not getting screened. And I don't think we're going to take questions at the end?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.